Welcome to The Mortgage Life, a space for down-to-earth conversations about how mortgages contribute to your life.
Well, that sounds canned and maybe a little boring.
What? There are so many parts to the mortgage industry and real estate finance we can explore and share with our listeners.
Okay, you're right. You're right, Mindy. Our goal is to help secure our clients' financial future.
I'm Pete Solomosi.
I'm Mindy Bodwin.
And I'm Sue Solomosi. We're your hosts. Welcome to The Mortgage Life. So, I don't know why Inspector Gadget is listed at the top of our list. However,
because Kendall is Inspector Gadget.
To open this episode, we are so excited to have Kendall Kinnear with us from Argo Home Inspections, home inspector here in the Okanagan Valley, to talk to us about inspections. Our last episode is about appraisals. Inspections are an entirely different beast. So on our notes, Pete, can you explain to us why it says Inspector Gadget?
I can. That was actually me.
That was you. Oh.
I just think inspector, and then I always think of Inspector Gadget. Did you guys ever watch that show?
Yeah, of course.
Back in the day?
Of course.
I think Kendall's arms actually extend.
Yeah, right out the side. Yeah.
Tools for everything.
Would Inspector Gadget have been useful on a home inspection?
Yeah, I think so. You know, I wear a tool belt, but, you know, to have all that stuff sort of automated.
Like built in.
Yeah, it's really ideal.
You know what? We have a test subject. His name is Pete, and he tore his Achilles. Hello, podcast land. Pete is...
Laid up. Indeed. I wish I had an extendable leg.
Yeah.
Extendable Achilles.
Achilles, yes.
I think is what we're looking for.
As long as if it would have stayed intact, that would have been great.
It did not. And I'll make no comments about your age.
Thank you.
All right. Kendall, why don't you start us off with a little brief intro about yourself, how you got into the inspection industry, and talk to us about your certification, your designation as an inspector.
Yeah, absolutely. So my name is Kendall Kinnear. I was born here in Vernon, BC. My designation is a licensed home inspector through the Consumer Protection of British Columbia. I'm also an associate member of the Home Inspectors Association of British Columbia. I operate and own a home inspection company here in Vernon called Argos Home Inspection. We specialize in residential home inspection, pre-listing, pre-purchase, new build, and maintenance home inspections. I've got kind of a unique work history, I like to call it. I think many home inspectors do have these interesting work backgrounds, and it kind of leads them to their career. But yeah, my background in residential commercial concrete construction. I spent a few years in the fiberglass manufacturing industry as a mold builder and a fiberglass repair specialist. And 5 years prior to starting my home inspection company, I was in the insurance restoration industry as a water restoration technician and an applied microbial remediation technician. So yeah, we basically dealt with water damages inside of buildings and homes.
In the Okanagan, I imagine that happens quite often.
Yeah, absolutely. They happen all the time. I'd be the guy who would show up at your house after you had a flood, fire, or if you were needing some kind of mold remediation project in your home. Yeah, and it was just a nice crossover from that industry to the home inspection industry.
Absolutely, having that diverse background, because, I mean, we can get into this more detail in a little bit, but I mean, when you walk into a property, there's a myriad of elements that you must be looking at or looking for, and you don't want to miss out on anything. And this is a big part of my question, is like the certification and designations, and how often does that have to be renewed in BC?
Yeah, absolutely. There's a few different ways that people get licensed in the province. The route that I took was through the Home Inspectors Association. You know, this group really does set the gold standard for home inspector training in the province. And we do continuing education every single year. It's actually a requirement for us to redo our licensing each year.
I see. Can a person call themselves a home inspector without being certified?
Well, it happens, but you really shouldn't. All home inspectors must be licensed through Consumer Protection British Columbia, and they're the overseeing body for the whole industry in the province.
So talk to us about the difference between an appraisal and a home inspection.
Yeah, so sometimes we actually will see the appraiser at the inspection and they come in and do their thing. You know, when Peter sent me this question, you know, I actually had to do a bit of a deep dive on what exactly an appraisal is because I didn't know. What I'm seeing the main difference is the appraisal is conducted to determine the value of a home for the benefit of the lender, and a home inspection is more focused on the buyer's interest, their safety, and what kind of repairs they'll need to do on their property.
So the hole in the ceiling would need to be patched.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So your report comes with a number of recommendations then?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. Our digital reports will come out, you know, and we use plain language so that everyone knows who they need to talk to, when the timing of those things should be determined, whether that's something you're going to want to know prior to your subject removal, depending on the costs of these types of repairs that we're seeing on the property.
So what kinds of repairs are you really looking for? Like if we're looking for deficiencies in the property, are we looking at like hard water stains on the faucets? Or, I mean, I'm being kind of silly, but is it what kind, how small a ticket item do we get down to, or how large do we get to?
Yeah, so safety and large expense. That's really the bread and butter. You know, when it comes to things like missing handrails or missing GFCI protections on electrical receptacles, you know, those are things that we're definitely going to point out. And then on the higher end of things, you know, we're looking at solid aluminum conductor, for instance. You know, that's going to be quite a large cost to a potential home buyer.
Is that like an electrical system issue?
Yeah, yeah. This was a type of wiring they used in homes between 1965 and the mid-70s, it being aluminum, much more malleable. And the connections would actually pull away from the receptacles, which can create a fire hazard. So getting an electrician to come in and just assess all those connections, and sometimes the insurance companies also have an issue with this type of wiring in a home. So if we identify that, you know, essentially we're going to tell our client that they may want to look into what the costs are going to be associated with this, talk to their insurance company about what their policy is like, things like that.
Yeah, something like that would be a systemic problem in the entire building. Same with the plumbing, right? There's different types of pipes and not all pipes are made the same. I know that's something that's come up in my own home inspections over the years. And you kind of got to decide as the buyer, do I take on this risk? And same thing, not all insurers will insure. But yeah, it is. It's used for the buyer to help make informative decisions on, am I buying this? Am I not? Can we do these repairs? You know, do we not? Do we go back to the seller?
That kind of leads into my next question is just what actually happens during your home inspection? So walk us through the process. You walk through the front door and what are you looking for?
I think that what he does, because I'm just going to take a quick guess here, because we've talked about Inspector Gadget, I think he just puts on his x-ray glasses and he can look through the walls. Is this not correct?
Oh boy, you know, people think that.
It's really weird because we think of inspections and we think of walls, and these walls are finished. So how do you figure out? How do you do the thing?
Go Gadget moisture detector.
Yeah, we use tools like moisture meters and stuff like that. But really, at the end of the day, this is a comprehensive visual assessment of the home. You know, so there's areas that we can't see, and there's a lot of general limitations in our report in that sense. You know, you have a wall that's finished or a basement that's finished. I can't see the condition of that foundation. So, you know, that's kind of where our report ends. If we can't see it, we can't really report on it. But we're going to tell you that we didn't look at it, and that's going to go on paper. But as far as the process, you know, the home inspection actually starts, you know, long before we're getting to the site. We will look at things like the listing information. We'll look at the listing photos to get a sense of the home, what kind of layout we're looking at, what kind of materials the home's been built with. And then as we're driving up, you know, home inspectors, they often are kind of house creepers, I'll call it, because, you know, we're always looking at houses everywhere we go. It's kind of just burnt into our brain that we're always looking at these houses, and that's all we do is think about houses. So when we drive up to the house, our inspection starts. We're looking at the roof line. We're looking at where's that water going to go. That's the big one on the outside. We're going to walk around the house to see what kind of systems are there. We're going to go into the house. We're going to wake everything up inside. That means turning on all the bath fans, turning on the furnace, turning on all the lights, and really starting to wake the house up. It's a really important process because after that, we're going to go up to the roof, make sure all those vents are connected. And then we go through each of the systems through the house, like the electrical panel, the HVAC system, the plumbing system, and we document everything that we see in a digital report writing software. And so we're actually building that report as we inspect, taking photos. We can annotate photos, which is really handy for things that we want to point out to the client. It's the same every single time. We have a system, and that's exactly how we do it each time.
Interesting that you brought up the client, because we had a very interesting conversation with the appraiser of who is the appraiser's client, who is that report for. Your client is the borrower, the person or the homeowner.
The buyer.
Absolutely. Yeah.
The buyer of the home.
We work for the buyer. You know, we're often referred by the real estate agent. At the end of the day, our client is the buyer, and our report goes directly to the buyer once that's completed. So yeah, I mean, we're there for them. We want to show them the condition of the property that they're considering purchasing. We want to show them, you know, ideally in person after the inspection, what is all this stuff? What does it mean? What do you need to do now? And that's kind of what we do. We're the third party who has nothing to do with the sale. You know, it keeps us separated from everything, essentially.
Right.
When we went through that phase from, I guess, late 2020 until early 2022, where transactions were happening at such an accelerated pace, and it became quite common for buyers to not condition for a home inspection as part of their purchase transaction. From your standpoint, what was that like to experience?
Yeah, you know, that must have been really hard for a lot of buyers, and you know, I feel bad for anyone who couldn't get a home inspection prior to purchasing a home. What we did to kind of combat that problem is we started offering pre-offer home inspections, you know, and basically we would go in before they even put their offer on the table to the seller, and we would get them their report real quick, and that's the best we could do. You know, unfortunately, a lot of people bought without having a good home inspection done. And I've done inspections for people who bought after the fact. You know, they've brought me in to take a look through the property after they'd purchased. Some of them, you know, there's just minor stuff, but definitely some of them had some issues that were going to be quite expensive to deal with.
So give us an idea of what these issues would be like. Like, for instance, here in the Okanagan, what kinds of things would you typically see?
Yeah, so some, you know, some common property defects be things like missing GFCI receptacles in your kitchen or your bathroom, missing handrails and guardrails on stairs. The number one, I would say, is a dirty furnace filter. I see that a lot, and it's like the number one way to really give back to your furnace is changing that filter every, you know, three months or so, or whatever the manufacturer recommends. I see a lot of improperly built decks as well. Decks are kind of the wild west of construction, you know. You and Uncle John fix it up on the weekend and that kind of thing. So we're writing up decks quite often. And then another big one I see is just lack of gutter maintenance. Lots of dirty gutters.
There's so many things to be taken care of on a house, and it just kind of makes my head spin a little bit. But you used an acronym, and I don't know what it means, so I'm going to take a stab at it. You said GFCI receptacles in the kitchen. So my guess is that it means good for counting ice cubes.
Yes. No.
Is that it?
Not quite. No. Close, though. So this is
ground fault something.
Very close. Yeah, you got the first two. So this is a ground fault circuit interrupter.
Ooh.
Yes, very fancy word for a safety device. And you'll probably know what they are. They're the receptacles with the little buttons on them in your bathroom. Yeah, there's a reset button on there. And, And basically what happens is if there's any sort of fault, it's just going to shut off the power to that receptacle. So, you know, if especially if water, and that's the big thing with a ground fault. We want them in wet areas like kitchens, bathrooms, exteriors, pools, that kind of thing.
So I was close with counting ice cubes.
Yeah, pretty close. Yeah, absolutely.
It's like when I use my high-powered Dyson Airwrap styler, sometimes that sets off the GFCI receptacles depending where I am.
Yeah.
Wow. Is that your flat iron, Mindy?
No, it's
your curling thing?
The Dyson.
It does for your hair.
All the things.
Yeah.
Yes. It does like five things in one. Yeah, it's pretty fancy.
Sue, I just wanted to go back to something that you had said about, you know, the home maintenance thing. You're right. It's a lot of work. And I would say one of the biggest problems that we see on homes sometimes is lack of maintenance. And lack of maintenance, it can make small problems really big. You know, so when you don't seal that window up, you know, and you get years of water coming in through that area, or you don't paint your wood siding and it starts to deteriorate. Home maintenance is such an easy way to keep the value in your home. I recommend any homeowner out there who's listening to this, find your maintenance schedule. If you can do it yourself, great. If not, hire professionals to help you. It's really worth it in the long run, especially when it comes back to selling the home, because likely that person's going to get a home inspection.
So do you offer a service where you go to a home and say, here's what your home maintenance schedule could look like?
Yeah. So we offer maintenance inspections, you know, and that can be a good way to kind of just take stock in your home, whether that be what the regular maintenance needs are going to be, can help you develop a list of things that you can do each year. But also we offer that in our pre-purchase home inspection as well. So we're adding in maintenance recommendations and, you know, projects to improve efficiency in your home, that kind of stuff. So we kind of like to think of our home inspection as there's going to be a lot for you to look at when you're considering the purchase. And then afterwards, it can be a bit of a roadmap for you moving forward with your maintenance.
My brain is lighting up. I'm really excited right now. This is inspiring. In my mind, I think it's a great point for first-time home buyers. It's a great point for anybody buying a home that there is a maintenance schedule required. Adding an inspector to your trusted team when you're purchasing, a very important person when it comes to looking at your home in the long run. And I'm sitting over here thinking, we're mortgage brokers, so how does an inspection impact a mortgage? It doesn't really, unless we're in the private space or doing something really quirky with financing. But I'm really excited to hear that that's something that you offer.
Yeah, and I was just going to say, it gives our clients peace of mind, which gives us peace of mind.
If you don't know what your maintenance schedule should be like, then a home inspector is a valuable resource. So it doesn't have to be at a purchase, but you could actually get one whenever if you just don't know what you need to do around the house.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a great point also to mention that we're a third party. We're not trying to sell you repairs. I'm not there to sell you anything. I just want to give you more information about your home and what kind of things you can do to keep it happy and healthy.
So talking about this maintenance schedule and thinking about home inspections in general, how does the idea of maintenance and an inspection, how does it vary between a place like at the ski hill versus in town versus a lake property, maybe versus, you know, a high rise or somewhere in, you know, on the island in Victoria?
Yeah, absolutely. I made some notes here about this. You know, at the ski hill, we got lots of snow and ice. So, you know, our buildings up there are definitely taking a beating with the snow and ice. So you're going to really want to focus on your exterior maintenance, making sure all those windows are sealed up, making sure that, you know, your siding is in good condition. And just from my restoration background, you know, one thing that we saw a lot up at Silver Star would be like flat roofs and snow load, where we would actually start getting leaks in through these flat roof structures because people weren't getting the snow cleared off. And so that's something to consider if you have a flat roof property on a ski hill to you'll want to pay someone to do this. Yeah. It's worth it because, again, it's one of those preventative maintenance issues. Other things you'd see up at a ski hill with the amount of ice and snow is ice damming. And ice damming is kind of when we see it when there's big, large icicles hanging off the side of a building. This is your building telling you that there might be an issue. Ice dams can actually freeze back into the shingles and get into your attic space. Over time, this can cause leaks in your ceilings. So if you're seeing that kind of stuff happening on your house, definitely you might want to get a roofer involved to take a look at that
so,
for
so
you.
So those big, beautiful icicles, they're actually a sign.
Yeah, they're a sign. Absolutely. Yeah.
I was actually going to say, because they look so cool, and it's like, hey, what's more wintry than seeing these nice giant icicles? But that's actually a really bad sign, because then the water's not actually flowing down where it should be, right?
Yeah, it's a drainage issue. So on homes with dirty gutters, for instance, when the water can't drain away, it causes a backup. And an ice dam is sort of a reciprocal or a cylindrical issue where you have melting, and then when the water hits that uninsulated overhang or eave, it's freezing again. So over the freeze-thaw months, these ice dams can get bigger. Even my own home, like I have a low slope, almost flat roof, and I've had to install heating cables on the edge of my roof to take care of that because, you know, these ice dams were quite literally tearing my roof flashings apart. Yeah, so it's really something to watch out for. If you have that kind of stuff going on in your house, you could talk to a professional, a roofer, contractor.
I'm also thinking about the contents of the icicle, because as a kid, we'd eat icicles, right? Like popsicles. Maybe don't do that.
Yeah. You know, it's good microbes. Good gut biology, right?
So have you ever inspected outside of the Okanagan?
Yeah, so when I was in my home inspection training, we are required to work with a few different inspectors through the province. So I did some training in Vancouver, and I did some training in Squamish. One thing that I know about Vancouver is that there's a soft water in the city, and so the copper piping life expectancy is much lower in Vancouver. You know, copper piping is a great material. It lasts forever. My 1960s home has copper piping and it's great. But in the city of Vancouver, you know, you could be looking at life expectancies of like 35 to 40 years, that kind of thing. And at the coast, we definitely have a lot more water. So it's all about where does that water go? How are we managing that roof water? Is the perimeter drainage in good condition? Does it work properly? That kind of stuff. So water is a really big thing on the coast.
For sure.
That was a big part of the property we just bought. Owners had just installed a new perimeter drainage system. And this was touted and it was listed on the MLS listing even. So it is. Moisture exists on the coast for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And perimeter drainage, you know, it's one of those things that we don't see. We don't think about it, but it's really an important system, you know, within your home. It's protecting your basement against water ingress.
This reminds me of the whole 90s and the leaky condos in Vancouver and that how the buildings that were kind of built in those years had kind of systematic issues that were due to building codes. So tell us a little bit about how building codes affect what you do.
Full disclosure, we are not code inspectors, and Right. That's, you know, we get asked about code quite a bit. Code's a bit of a buzzword for sure. And I did a bit of a deep dive on this last night. So the code books were released in 1941 in Canada. If we were to interpret code as home inspectors, we would have to know all of the code from 1941 to current day. They release new codes for building, you know, maybe every 2 to 5 years. So we approach it from more of a safety aspect, right? So GFCIs became code in the early 1970s. So if we're looking at a 1960s home without GFCI protection, you know, I'm not saying this is a code issue. I'm just telling you that this is a safety issue and that you should have them installed. Similar to deck structures, you know, they used to be a lot smaller. They use smaller dimensional lumber, and nowadays there's new standards to building decks, with bigger dimensional lumber, bit larger beams, larger posts. So we're recommending upgrades whenever we see this kind of stuff out in the field.
What about the deficient electrical system you described, or the like poly B plumbing? Would those be code issues, or would you guys just define that as a safety issue?
Yeah, so with a solid aluminum conductor, this is like a fire safety issue. Like I was saying earlier, the aluminum is much more malleable than copper conductors, so it would actually create loose connections at the breaker box and at the receptacle. So this is a fire safety, electrical safety issue. Things like polybutylene piping, you know, this is like we tell people that there's a history of this pipe in regard to leakage. We tell them that replacing it can be expensive. We tell them that there may be possible insurance issues. So I'm not telling anyone to repipe their house. I'm just saying, look, we have this material that has been known to leak, and you may want to learn a bit more about this prior to your purchase.
So it sounds like there's a lot of education involved in the reports that you produce. Tell us a little bit about what that report looks like. Like, is it a one pager with some pictures, or what is the client getting?
When we talk about like the actual service itself, it's kind of it's multifaceted. So, you know, I consider myself to be a professional consultant first, who does home inspections and educates the clients about the home they want to purchase. The service is that we inspect the home, the buyer will come to the home, and I want to spend like a minimum of 45 minutes with you at the inspection, or longer in some cases, right? If we have the time, and I want to show you in person all of these things that we're talking about. You know, we don't go through every single deficiency in the report, but I want to show you in person and kind of explain to you, because yeah, education is a huge aspect of what we do. We have so much knowledge that we learn, and we can give so much of that back to our clients. And then we want to show you where like all your water shutoffs are. We want to show you how to turn your gas off in an emergency situation. So once that consultation is done, we're going to prepare a digital inspection report. So these inspection reports can be anywhere from 40 to 60 pages, full color photography, and recommendations that will explain to you, okay, this is the condition. Here's the implication of non-repair. Here's the type of contractor that you're going to need to talk to. Or if it's a DIY project or a handyman type situation, we can let you know that too.
I know that one. It's do it yourself. Yeah.
Absolutely.
I feel like we've come full circle in this conversation. We're back at the education component, talking about what you do as an inspector. So I think this is a great point to kind of wind down on the conversation. But maybe if there's anything else you want to share with us, any additional points you want to make about purchasing a property?
Any unique situations or scenarios you've come across?
Yeah, actually, I was doing a roof inspection this summer on a lake property. There's a garage that's actually quite low to the ground on the back end, and that's how I got up on this garage and this roof. As I'm doing my roof inspection, I hear all this crashing about in the woods behind me. This massive black bear was actually lurking around the property. You know, I had my lunch in the car. I wasn't sure if he was going to come down and take a look around. So that was kind of a crazy experience. I was a little nervous.
He could have got up on the roof with you.
Well, and that...
You would have had a nice little dance party.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I was a little worried about that, the height to the ground, to mm-hmm. the roof on that garage. It could have been easy for him. But, you know, as far as some closing statements here, I just think that anyone buying a home, you know, get it inspected by a professional home inspector. You know, we're here to look out for you. We're here to educate you. Hire a professional, someone who's licensed and someone who takes part in continued education. Really important.
We've talked about continuing education on this show. I think that's a really great point to finish off on. I would like to finish off on the song from Inspector Gadget. Pete, do you got it? This message will self-destruct.
That's right. I forgot about that part.
Thank you so much, Kendall, for
Kendall.
Imparting some wisdom on us.
Oh, thanks so much for having me. It was a lot of fun.
This is The Mortgage Life.
We look forward to continuing the conversation.
So come back and listen.